Father, we know that you look at things differently from the way that we do. On the message today about chasing the wind and the things that we do that don't bring much results without your blessing, we pray that once again we will be reminded that our greatest need is for you, whether we realize it or not. But the day that we learn it, we are truly blessed to know that we can come close to you, gain strength from you, find direction in our life, and not be afraid of the future. Lord, because the future is unknown to us, but it is completely known to you. As we remember to you this morning, this afternoon, in communion, we want to be strengthened once again by your promises of forgiveness and love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title is Chasing the Wind. I have said a few times before that Ecclesiastes is my favorite book in the Bible, and it is for the same reason that I like sad movies. It's a kind of a depressing book to some people. They think it shouldn't even be in the Bible because it's so full of negative views in Ecclesiastes. But I like to watch sad movies when I'm sad because it doesn't make me sadder. It makes me feel like other people have it worse, and so I'm happier after I see sad movies. In Chinese, there's a term, I don't know how to say it in English. It's like you're fighting poison with poison. In Chinese, it's yi du gong du. So if you're sad, watch sad movies, then you won't be so sad. If you are depressed, read Ecclesiastes, then you won't be depressed. I want to tell you that 9 times Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes uses this phrase, chasing the wind. I'll show you very quickly. We don't have to read it. Here it says, he observed everything under the sun. It is all meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. Then in verse 17, in that same chapter, it says, I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly, but I learned firsthand that chasing all these things is like chasing the wind. Then in the next chapter, in verse 11, he talks about how meaningless things are again. There is nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Remember, this is Solomon, the richest man on earth. At that time, the most powerful king on earth. People came from far, far away to give him gold and silver and to worship him. All right, and he had all the experiences that money can buy. Chariots is like supercars today, fastest horses, fastest chariots. They keep discovering new artifacts of his history, of all these stables that we went to when we were in Israel, and see that Solomon truly was a powerful king. But he wrote this book because without God, he realized that it was all like chasing something that you'll never catch, chasing the wind. So you see here, all these verses talks about chasing the wind. 4 more verses here. Chapter 4, chapter 6. The last one says, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Don't keep chasing after. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. So what does Solomon have to be so pessimistic about? Being rich and powerful, having all the concubines and wives and horses and palaces and land and everything that he could ever want on earth, why was he so down? Maybe he thought that having all these things would make him happy and peaceful, but obviously he did not find happiness. He did not find peace. So I've read some stories of famous people who said that, I think it was Stephen King or one of these famous writers that said, I wish before I became famous that someone would tell me that you won't find happiness by becoming rich and famous. Now that I am rich and famous, it is so meaningless because I'm at the top, but I haven't reached any kind of peace and joy. So basically, chasing the wind describes everyone's life. If we chase things that we think will make us happy, then when we get it, we are disappointed because that happiness lasts such a short time. So that's why I use that title today, Chasing the Wind, because the whole message today is from Hosea. It's not from Ecclesiastes, but Hosea says the same words. It is like chasing the wind. It is like running after something that you will never be pleased, even if you catch it. And of course, you cannot catch the wind. Now let's read this together. These are the key verses today. Only 6 verses I want us to remember as I talk about this from Hosea. Hosea is a very short book. It's a very interesting book. Let's read together slowly. The people of Israel feed on the wind. They chase after the east wind all day long. They pile up lies and violence. They are making an alliance with Assyria. while sending olive oil to buy support from Egypt. Now the Lord is bringing charges against Judah. Punish Jacob for all his deceitful ways and pay him back for all he has done. Even in the womb, Jacob struggled with his brother. When he became a man, he even fought with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and pleaded for blessing from him. There at Bethel, he met God face to face, and God spoke to him. The Lord God of heaven's armies, the Lord is his name. So now, come back to your God, act with love and justice, and always depend on him. The wind is something we cannot see, but the wind God uses to describe the Holy Spirit. How do you know the wind is here? Only after the wind has blown through and you see the trees moving and the leaves falling, then you know there is wind, because things don't just fall down by themselves. We feel the effects of the wind even though we don't see it. What does the wind make me think of? The wind makes me think of speed. Why do I think of speed? Because a lot of my favorite cars are named after winds, especially Maserati. All of Maserati cars are named after winds. There is the Merak, which is a wind. There's the Diablo, which is a California wind, a hot, dry wind, the Ghibli, and the Mistral. Many others. Even a VW has a wind name for the car, Scirocco. That's also the name of a wind. But not all winds are known for their speed. Some winds are known for the destruction. Because what happens in California all the time? Every time there's a small fire, it becomes a huge fire, because even from space they can see the trail of these huge winds that go over 50 miles per hour. And then they spread the fire, and then the fire lasts for weeks and weeks and weeks. So while the winds remind me of supercars, God uses the wind to remind us that chasing it is futile, that the wind sometimes brings destruction. So the wind doesn't always represent something good. Paul the Apostle talks about life being a race that you run. But he is not talking about speed of the race. Paul is talking about perseverance. That's what I want to remind us today, myself too. It's not how fast you run, but how long you can keep running that makes the difference in Christian life. So it's perseverance. So we run by the power and by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we remember him in communion. 9/11 is one of my favorite cars. It is often driven by old people, because only old people can afford such expensive cars. Although a lot of young people can afford rich cars now too. I can't afford 9/11, but I have 9/11 in my email. Just to remind me that maybe someday I'll have a 9/11. But you know what's funny? One day I was reading my favorite book in the Bible, which I told you was Ecclesiastes. If you turn to Ecclesiastes 9:11, guess what it says? It says the speed does not belong to the fast. I thought, oh man, 9/11 is supposed to be fast. But my favorite book, chapter 9, verse 11 says, the speed does not belong to the quick, the one who runs fast. The one who wins the race is the one who perseveres. Basically, simply in our life, if we can remember that race is not only about speed. Race is, can we keep running? When things are down, do we keep running? Do we think of coming back to God? So the last verse for today, that I'm going through this, is to say, come back to your God, act with love and justice, and always, always is the perseverance, always is the consistency. We do it sometimes, we don't do it enough. I don't do it always and consistently. So I'm saying, return and then depend on God. Stop looking so surprised and troubled when things go wrong, because Jesus never told us that things won't go wrong in life. Why do I get so upset? On Friday with the youth group, I talked about marriage. Why do people get so upset when their spouses do something that they don't like? Because in their hearts, they think they should change. If we don't expect people to change, we will not be disappointed. We don't expect ourselves to change, we expect others to change for us. Same thing with this. We are not consistent. We don't come back to Jesus. Today's message, really based on these six verses, is come back to God, come back continually. In another translation, it says, stay with God continually. And in the first verse, it says, they chased after the east wind continually. So it begins by saying they continue to do bad things, and then it ends by saying, we don't trust God continually. We do the things that we shouldn't do all the time, but we don't do the things that we should do all the time. Return, return. Sometimes we really have to return one day at a time. I find that to be true in my own life. If I left God today, I was distant from Him. The next day, I want to come back closer. And one good way, of course, is to read the Bible every day. And this year, along with some other people in the church, I want to read the Bible through in 1 year. I started last December. I'm still on track now, according to the plan. I just read through the whole Bible. And so I run across a lot of things that I read before that I forgot. The one way to come back to God is to read His Word. Come back and stay there. Always depend on Him. Return and depend. So the word for that is perseverance. And Paul talks about perseverance. Paul talks about running the race, not for the being fast, but for keeping up with it. So it becomes difficult to persevere when things get rough. I think of my mom. My mom is a very hyper person. She used to live at home with three floors. And she would go from upstairs to the middle floor to downstairs. And my dad, every time I call in the old days when they were still living at home, before they moved to retirement home, my dad would say, tell your mom not to run around. It's driving me crazy. Because my dad is afraid she will fall. And she does fall, right? Goes from third floor to second floor to basement into the garage back in the house. It's just running round and round and round. So he says, please tell her not to run around. But she's hyper. But then one day she fell, she hurt her back, she went in for back surgery. We were all scared that she would not come out alive. When she came back out, she was different, right? Because her nerves were damaged. Now her hands are numb. My mom used to write me letters in college. Beautiful handwriting. I saved some of them. Beautiful English, beautiful Chinese. I can't read the Chinese, of course. Tricia reads it for me. But nice handwriting. But now she can hardly write. She can't see. She can't hear. But she is so faithful and persevere. Why? Because when she goes to physical therapist, they say, tie this to the chair and pull this rubber band, you know, pull it 500 times a day, and she'll do it 500 times a day, hold this ball and squeeze it, you know, lift up your arm, try to get something from the top shelf. She does all these things, and that's perseverance. My mom is that kind of person that just perseveres. And she's very stubborn as a mule. Always, you know, just make us do things we don't, you know, every time they practice piano. When I go to practice, you wash your hands before you touch the piano. So turn me into like a neat freak. So my mom perseveres and she works so hard. And last night when I was thinking about this message, I want to share about perseverance. I walked into the room. I said, Tricia, we got to find time to see my parents. Because we went to see her parents in Taiwan. I haven't seen my parents in months and months. I want to take time and spend time with her. Because I don't know when I won't have a mother on earth anymore. Because she's old and she's weak. And she can't see, she can't hear. So talking on the phone is hopeless. When I go to see her, she will barely be able to see me. But I want her to see me because I remember how strong she was for me when I was a kid. When they first came to this country, they bought properties. My mom is so cheap and frugal, she would not hire anyone to clean those houses that they bought, that they rented out to students. When I came home in the summer, she made me go with her. I couldn't keep up with her. She'd drive in this beat-up old car that had holes in it. Someone would drive in the winter, snow would come through the hole in the car on the floorboard. And she would lift this, you know, like 30-year-old lawnmower into the trunk of the car. Back in those days, trunks didn't open, so they're flat. There was like a little ledge you have to lift over. My mom would put this lawnmower in there and says, Mike, take it out with me and mow. I said, it's wet. How can we mow the grass? So she's doing all these things. She perseveres. So I'm learning something I want to share with you today. The only way in Christian life to succeed and to be strong is to persevere. You don't have to persevere when things are easy. You only persevere when things are tough. That's the hard part. So my hypoactive mom is that way. But after that, her legs were numb, her back was numb. And in the beginning, after her back was numb, she would sit down on the chair and miss it. Why? I said, Mom, how come you sit down before the chair is there? Because the nerves in her butt were numb. She can't feel the chair. She doesn't know when she's sitting down. So she'll sit down before she reaches the chair and fall on the floor. So, you know, even if you persevere, sometimes life works against you. But as a Christian, we have to persevere. I think of my mom and I say, I have to persevere, even when things are rough in serving. So I want to go see her. Same reason. Hosea says, come back to your God. I want to go back to the one I trust, the one who loves me, because one day on earth, I won't have a mother to love me. She will go to heaven anytime. But we will always have Jesus. We will always have God's love. And that should be enough to bring us back. So think about the fundamental message in the Bible for us. In Zechariah that we're studying in Sunday school today, I mentioned that the word return or the concept of returning and repent happens over 400 times in the Bible. Everywhere, every few verses, every few chapters, repent and return is the message, just like here. So basically today, if you don't, I know preachers always say that, but I mean it. If you don't remember anything from this message, remember that our Christian life is returning. Our Christian life is coming back to the source. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how holy you are, you have to come back. The moment you leave God, it's the end. You will not find meaning. You will not find happiness. So the fundamental message today is don't chase the wind, chase God. Chasing the wind is impossible. The NIV translates it even differently from my translation that I use all the time. The New International Version says, but you must return to your God, maintain. Maintain means persevere. Maintain love and justice. God wants us to be loving and to be just. We can't be loving if we are not just. But we cannot be just without being loving. Then you hurt people. And then it says, wait. Wait is persevere. Wait is not just one day, 2 days. Wait is sometimes a long time. My mom is waiting to be better. She probably won't be better before she dies because all her nerves are damaged. Wait for your God always. So you see the word maintain, wait, always. The Christian life is about perseverance. It's about following, even when it's hard. So Hosea, if you notice, mentioned something very interesting I want you to see. Hosea says that they chase after the east wind. To the Jews, the east is empty. The east of Jerusalem is a desert. The east of Jerusalem is dry. Just like California, the east wind comes in, it's dry wind. It fans the fires. Same thing with Jerusalem. So if chasing the wind is a waste of time, chasing the east wind is crazy. You're chasing something that will bring you nothing. Bring you nothing but dryness. So Hosea is saying, people, you are chasing not only the wind, you are chasing a hot, dry, useless, unproductive wind. God tells them that it is futile and dangerous to rely on manipulation because that's what it says here. They are manipulating. They are making deals with their enemies. They're selling oil to them to try and get something else they want. So what do we do when we don't persevere? We manipulate. Many people are masters at manipulation. That's why later on he'll talk about Jacob. Jacob is the quintessential manipulator in the Bible. He knows how to play games. He knows how to do things. But you know how humorous God is? He is the manipulator. He goes to marry someone, and his uncle manipulates him, makes him work extra years just to get this daughter he wants. So the whole message really is about learning what is important and to chase after what's important. And I'm not saying that I chase after what's important, but I'm saying that I want to learn. I want you to learn. Go for the essential before we go for the extra. I always do things upside down. I go for the extra and I forget the essential. So I want to tell you this funny story from TV show. It's ridiculous, it's funny, but it shows you how when we go for extra and forget the essential, we are hurt. There was a woman who bought a parrot to keep her company because she was lonely, because parrots can talk. So she bought the parrot and brought it home. 2 days later, she went back to the pet store and says, "This parrot doesn't talk. I want my money back." The owner says, "Did you buy a mirror to put in the cage? Because when the parrot can see himself and he's happy, he'll start talking to the mirror." So she buys the mirror, puts it in the cage. 2 days later, comes back. Parrot's still not talking. "I want my money back." The guy says, "Did you buy a ladder? Sometimes when they have exercise and they climb the ladder in the cage, they'll start talking." He says, "Okay, I'll buy a ladder." Goes home, puts it in the cage. 2 days later, comes back again. Bird is still not talking. Says, "Buy a swing. The swing always works. When they swing around, they start talking." So she bought a swing, brought it home. 2 days later, she came back. "I want my money back. The bird died." So what? "You bought mirror, you bought ladder, you bought swing, and the bird still didn't talk?" Says, "Yeah, the bird talked one time before he died." Says, "What did the bird say?" The bird said, "Don't they sell any food at the pet store?" Basically, this silly story from TV is telling us you buy all the extra, but you didn't give them the most important thing. He's starving to death. How can he talk? Now, Christians, I want my 9/11. I want this. I want that. know, those are all extra. If God wants to give me extra, good, I'm happy. But that's not what will keep me alive. That's why Solomon, the king, was disappointed. He had all the chariots. He had all the women. He wasn't happy. In fact, I think the more women you have, the more miserable you get, because one woman is hard enough to deal with, but he has so many to work with. So I'm saying he was disappointed because he thought those things will make him happy, but Solomon had the extras. Only if you read to the very end of Ecclesiastes, then you will know he realized what is essential. The good thing, he says, is to come back to God. So Ecclesiastes is not a depressing book. Ecclesiastes is teaching us if we go after the extras, we will miss out on the essential, and then we will be unhappy. Because the most important thing in everyone's life is the food, not the mirror, not the ladder, not the swing. You're not going to be happy with those things. Silly story, but true. Extras or essentials? Extras are what we are chasing. That's the east wind. Essential is what Hosea is saying. Come back and depend on God. Only God knows how much I'm depending on him. Only God knows how much you are depending on him. I can't tell. Your neighbors can't tell. Your families can't tell. Sometimes we can tell, because you can tell when a person is under a lot of stress, they still are peaceful. When they have to face an unknown future, whether it's going to college or waiting for a job or waiting to get married or waiting for your children to grow up and be responsible, all of those things are unknown. But some people have peace because they know God is with them. God will hear their prayers. I'm with parents all the time who talk about those concerns. My son doesn't want to go to church. My daughter won't go to church. It's all in God's hands. You can have peace if you know. God, persevere. Hold on to God. Do what is just and loving. And then depend on him continually instead of chasing all those things. I got to control this. I got to change that. My spouse isn't changing. That's all beside the point. So you see how Hosea in the middle uses that? He tells us, Jacob is manipulating. When you manipulate, this is what happens. That is a picture of how the fire spread in California. Those are the east winds. Those are the winds that they can see even from space. They are destructive. To chase the wind is to ask for trouble. To chase the wind is to think, when I catch it, I'll be happy. You'll be even sadder than before. This is such a true thing about life. When you get those things, you are not happier. You're even sadder than before you had them, because now you're disappointed on top of everything. I used to think before I was a Christian, if I go to more parties, I have more girlfriends, I'll be happy. But the times when I come home from parties are the worst times, because then you have to face being alone. Then you have to face that, oh, the party, I was happy for 3 hours. I was high, I was drunk, I was with my friends. But then I had to come home and face the four walls. Then I do drugs. Then I'm lonely. Those are the times when you're disappointed. Maybe you're not as bad off as I am, but I'm just sharing with you my own experience. Those are the times when you realize that you're chasing for things that you are not happy, and in the end, that's what God used to turn me back to him. Simple as that, in the end. So he says, Jacob is like that. Even in the womb before he was born, he struggled with his brother, pulling, I want to get up first. Right? When he became a man, he even fought with God. He was fighting with Jesus because, as I said before, that is the pre-incarnate Christ. It says he struggled with the angel. Then it says God. God cannot be seen. If he can be seen, he is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can come in his pre-incarnate self with a body. He was struggling, but he knew enough to ask for blessing. After all the manipulation, and he knows that he's not going to get anywhere, he says, God, you bless me. We work, we try, but we ask for God's blessing. If we work and we try, but we don't ask for blessing, we end up nowhere. So that is called the 50-20 principle. Why do we struggle? Because the 50-20 principle comes from Genesis 50-20, another one of my favorite verses. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position as the Pharaoh's chief assistant so I could save the lives of many people. Joseph had a miserable life. If you remember 50-20, go back to Genesis 50-20. If you're struggling sometime, realize that God may be allowing you to struggle for that purpose, to make us grow. If you are struggling today, look at that verse. People intend to hurt you. God will use that to bless you. God can even use that to bless other people. Joseph's brothers were scared to death when they saw him. So, this is payback time. When he recognizes us and this is our brother, we're dead. But Joseph knew that he was part of God's plan. It is so essential to know that. So the word return is mentioned over and over again. The brothers returned home, brought the father. They returned to God. They returned to Joseph and accepted him again and realized that they had done him wrong. Because Joseph was a proud man when he was young. You all bow down to worship me. Even Jacob says, what? You expect your father and mother to bow down to you? In the end, they did, because God worked it out. He was Pharaoh's chief, second only to Pharaoh in Egypt, and his family had to come to him for food. Jesus made it possible today in communion for us to come to God. Why don't we come to God? Jesus makes it possible for me every day to pray to God, and he will hear me. Pray in Jesus' name. Share one more thing about my mom. One of the most lingering and personal memories I have in my mind, I've told you this before, is an image that kept me alive even when I was afraid that I would overdose on cocaine and die. When that picture of my mom came to my mind, I said, I must not die. I must pray. What is the image of my mother? The image of my mother was standing at a Greyhound bus station before I left home in New York to go to New York City, jump into the car with my roommate, and drive across the country to California from New York, up and down. Right, it took us 2 months. The most lingering image was seeing my mother standing there by the sidewalk. And you know, Greyhound bus, most of you don't even know what a Greyhound bus is. It's those buses that poor people used to ride instead of going on a plane. And you go from a plane ride from where my parents lived to New York City would be 30 minutes. On the Greyhound bus, it would take 6 hours, right? So it would stop everywhere. Greyhound bus is tall. It's very high up. The seats are high up. Once they close the window, you can't hear anything. So all I heard was the diesel engine. I look out the window, and I see my mom. Her eyes are red. There are tears coming out. And I remembered when I looked at that image of my mom crying, because my mom is short, and the bus is really tall. And I'm looking down, and she looks like a child from up there. Eyes are red. And I thought, when I was a child, first grade, my mom says, every time when I come to pick you up, I must stand in the same place. Because if you come out of school and you don't see me there, you start crying. First grade, I was really scared. I said, oh no, my mom forgot to come pick me up. I'm going to be dead. So she said, if I don't stand behind the same post every day after school, the moment you come out, you start crying. So on that day, I thought, this is the opposite. Now I'm leaving and my mom is crying. It's a reversal. So it's that picture that makes me want to go back home and see my mom. As I was writing and preparing this, I thought, I got to go see my mom before she dies. I really mean that, because she's old and she's weak and she's getting worse. She went to the eye doctor. Doctor says, I cannot help you see any better. But my sister whispered, the doctor says, just give her a new prescription. We'll buy new glasses, make her feel better, even though it won't help. Right? We'll just spend money, buy her new glasses. So doctor said, okay, give you a new prescription. Maybe this will help. It doesn't help, because the glasses is not what's going to help, because the eyes are just going bad. No glasses is going to help. So I think, when I think of that image, I want to go back to my mom to see her. When you think of what Jesus did for you, if you realize that Jesus is crying for us with that kind of unending love, don't you want to see him? Don't you want to know him? If a mother can love a son to that degree, that even when I leave, she's standing there and it looks like a silent movie. Silent movies can be very sad because you only see expression. You don't hear voices, right? The bus, everything is sealed up. I'm about to leave. When they close the door, the pressure, and the bus pulls away, I see my mom getting smaller and smaller, and she's standing there just crying. And it's totally opposite. It used to be me crying. Now it's my mom crying. And I think this kind of love is just amazing. But what about Jesus' love? What about God's love? That unending kind of love. If you sense it, you never want to let it go. I hope that you know this love of God. That when you are down, when you are weak, when you are uncertain of the future, you know that God is there. Just like the 50-20 principle. When tough times come, you know that God is there. He is there for you. So it was a total reversal, but I remember that to this day, and that was more than 40 years ago. So clear to me. Now she can't write, now she can't hear, now she can't see, and they say that because she can't see, she's falling even more. Right? The other day she fell and there was a golf ball size bump on her head. I gotta go see her soon. But she is still asking me every time I call, even though she can't hear me, when are you coming to see me? You imagine you have a mother on earth that may not always be there to love you. And you imagine Jesus died for us. He's waiting for us to come back. Jesus is the God that Jacob wrestled with. Jesus is God. It is Jesus that makes us able to come to God, and he's waiting for us. If you don't come to him, it's your choice. We can chase the wind. This is why I want to go back and see her, and this is why I think you should want to see God. And this is why this last verse is so important. Come back to your God. Act with love and justice. Always, always depend on him. There is no one stronger than God to lead you and to give you wisdom. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us through Hosea, a short prophetic book, but a book full of meaning, because we know what you asked Hosea to do, to marry an unfaithful woman whom God knows will cheat on him and leave him, and yet will come back one day, and Hosea will represent God's love by taking her back, an unfaithful wife, which is how you are to us. No matter how many times we abandon you and leave you, you are there. We need to remember that, Lord. Help us remember that today, that you are always waiting. As long as there's a breath left in us, we can come back to you and you will welcome us. You will welcome us just like any father, any mother would for a wayward child, because their love is forever, as long as they live. And your love stretches into eternity. We thank you for that, Father. We pray that this message will encourage us through the week, not in any special way to apply this to our lives, Lord, but to remember that when things are difficult, you may be speaking most clearly to us, reminding us that we have a Father in heaven who cares for us, who wants to lead us, encourage us, guide us, and strengthen us. We thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.